take a minute to just thank all of you for supporting us last week. When Dale was here, one of our overseers, who was our guest speaker last week, he really gave a very blessed message. And I think it's important, too, especially for those of you who are relatively new to CLC, to get to know and to share with some of the leadership that actually leads us as pastors. And, of course, we also addressed some matters after service that immediately or directly impacted our family. We want to just thank you again for your prayers and support. And we're doing very well. I just want to let you know that we're doing very well. And I believe a big reason for that is because of the prayers and support that we have from our church family. I'm going to ask you to do something real quick. Can you guys just take a minute to move up some? Can I just get you to take a few minutes to just move up a little bit? If you're sitting in the back, if you want to just skip rows. Amen. Are we there yet? All right. See, don't you feel that power now? You can. All right. Well, as we get back a little bit back on track here today, we are actually concluding, in a sense, our sermon series that we literally started at the beginning of this year. And I know it's June, so that's a long sermon series. But it's fitting today, I think, this last Sunday of the first half of the year, that we're transitioning into what I believe God is setting us up for the second half of 2019. Our series title has been Arise and Shine, and I do believe it perfectly describes what God desires for his people, not just for us. I mean, God actually shared this thousands of years ago with Isaiah in chapter 60. And I want to read that for you because this is where we based all of this from. And as we close this, I guess I just want to just kind of take a look at where this all started so we really have an idea of what God has been saying and where he's taking us in the days to come. So I want to take you to Isaiah chapter 60. Let's just read the first three verses here. And it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." And what I believe God is saying to us is that there is light in us. There's light from God that shines over us. And there's darkness that fills the world. And God wants us as the people who bear his light to shine, just like Matthew 5 talks to us about in terms of being a city on a hill. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works. There's a light in us that has to shine for people who are in a world of darkness to be able to come to that light. And there's a light that they need to be given. And it says even nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. It won't matter their status. It won't matter where people grew up, what their background is, or whatever the case may be. A people sitting in darkness needs to see the light that you have. And so 6 months, I know, is a long time to talk about three verses. But nevertheless, this series has been a very necessary tool for us to prepare for the ministry work that lies ahead for each and every one of us. And so today in this message, I just want to share what I believe is a very powerful revelation that the Spirit of God has helped me to see, at least. And it relates to our coming journey. And we get this text from Matthew chapter 14, where we see the story of where Jesus walked on the water. So I want to go ahead and take you there in Matthew chapter 14. And let's start at verse 22. We'll read through this passage. I don't want you to look at the screen. Matter of fact, don't put anything on the screen just yet, because these scriptures are kind of in where the computer is, I guess, they're kind of spread out. So I want you to hear this story in its fullness, though, before we even get into all that. So if you can just bear with me here and just read along on any Bible you may have, maybe even a device you may have. But I want to start at Matthew 14:22, and I want to read through the 36th verse, and just so you can have this story in your heart and mind as we go through this. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him on the other side. And while he dismissed the crowd, in verse 23, it says, after he had dismissed them, he went upon a mountainside by himself to pray. And later that night, he was there alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said. And they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come. Tell me to come to you on the water. Come, Jesus says. And then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. Verse 30 says, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when he climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And then those who were with him on the boat worshiped him, saying, you are truly the Son of God. And when they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. Don't quote me on that pronunciation. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all who were surrounding him in the country. And people brought their sick to him and begged him to let their sick just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. I want to talk to you today. This titled message is Crossing Over. There's a place of transition that we have come to. We've been talking about it for quite a while. I believe it's here, and I believe that the next time you visit here next Sunday, we will be on the other side of it. I really believe that. I'm not trying to prophesy or say something deep. I just sense where the Lord is taking us. It doesn't surprise me that crossing over coincides with crossing into one or from one half of this year into another half of this year. And this message is really all about that transition. It's all about how we need to cross over into a place where It's not so much about what we get and what we achieve and what we receive and what we get to enjoy or experience. It's about a people that we have to help. It's about crossing over into a place really out of self-focus into others' focus. Amen. I'm going to wait for the thundering response to die down and keep on going. So I want to just talk about this. Now, every now and then I'll get one of these revelatory messages where I kind of go back and forth from the context of the passage to what it actually means for us today. So I'm going to ask you to really just bear with me because you may hear some of that going back and forth, because there's a lot of representation in this passage of scripture that I believe that the Lord is really trying to get through to us. So if you get a little confused, I'm going to do my very best to help you understand what God is helping me to see in terms of where we're going, not just as a local church body, but where I believe the body of Christ is going today. Amen. All right. So I want to give you some points, and I'm going to read back through these scriptures and just explain what I believe that these things mean for us. So as we prepare to cross over, let me give you point number one, and we'll talk about that one first. Step into the boat. Let me read again Matthew 14, verse 22. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. He says immediately. Now, when you say something like immediately, it usually happens after something. You know, I can't just say immediately got up. I have to immediately get up after I hear the alarm go off. You know what I mean? So something just took place if there's an immediately here. Now, what just took place? What took place was the feeding of the 5,000. Everybody familiar with that story? They are in a deserted place, 5,000 men plus women and children. Nobody has anything to eat except a young boy who's got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Obviously, from our perspective, that's not enough to feed 5,000 people. You'll see that as you go get your bratwurst today, okay? That's not enough to feed 5,000 people. But they put it in Jesus' hands. When they gave it to Jesus, he blessed it, broke it, and dispersed it to the disciples, who made the people sit down in groups. And miraculously, this very small portion of food multiplied into not just enough for 5,000 men plus women and children to eat. They took up 12 baskets full of fragments that were left over. And not because everybody just took a little nibble here and took a little, just a bite there. The Bible is very clear that everybody ate all that they wanted. So the prior event that happened here before this immediately happens is they are with Jesus. They are with thousands of people. They see the miraculous happen. They see people blessed. And now immediately all of that is cut off. All of that. We saw the breakthrough miracle. Everybody was rejoicing. Everybody was enjoying. And now immediately Jesus puts them in a boat, seals them off completely from that. Immediately. Not days later. Immediately. Let me seal you in a boat, and I'm not even going with you. I'm sending you into raging waters that you don't even know are ahead of you, and I'm staying behind. So what does that mean for us today? We might be enduring right now even some places where we've seen the blessing and the miracles of the Lord, and now all of a sudden, God's sealing us up, shipping us off into some dark, deep, troubled waters where we don't even feel like he's with us. And so he sends them in this boat to go ahead of them on the other side. Everybody say crossing over. They're going to the other side. And while he dismissed the crowd, and afterwards, after he dismissed them, he went up to a mountain by himself to pray that night. And there he was alone. If you know all of this is getting ready to happen, are you still courageous enough to step in that boat? And so what does step in the boat really mean? Step in the boat can mean a number of things. For one, step in the boat can really just mean, as a person who's not saved, I'm stepping into salvation with Jesus Christ. I'm taking a risk that I don't know what this means. I don't know what this life really entails. I see a bunch of people around me who believe in this Jesus and worship this invisible God. But that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't compute necessarily to my natural mind. But something I can tell is drawing me to it. And I sense that I need to at least try this. I need to step in this boat and give my life to Jesus and turn away from this life of fleshly, self-centered sin. So I'm stepping in the boat. And that's what stepping in the boat can mean from a general sense. Now, from a more specific sense, step in the boat can mean that, hey, now that I'm saved, there's a specific assignment that God has for me. I want you to go to South Bend, Doug, and pastor this church. And somewhere in my heart, I've got to find the yes to say, God, I will go. God, I will go. Yes, I will do it. And so not just for pastoring a church, but what is God saying you for you to do? What's the assignment? What's the calling that God has for you right now? Everybody can't pastor a church necessarily, but there are a whole lot of different things that you can do. But more specifically, what is God showing you? I want to say it this way. What's the thing you keep wishing they would do in the church? If the pastor would just get this revelation that this needs to be done, that might be a good place to start. If you're having trouble figuring out your assignment, it might be that thing. All right. Now, stepping into the boat can also mean something else. It could mean fully yielding to the Holy Spirit, fully yielding to where the Spirit is calling you, fully yielding to what he's doing in your life, stepping into the boat. It can also mean letting go of an old season and stepping into a new season. If you can't tell by now, we fentna step into a new season real fast. I just pray God give you revelation. That's all I'll say about it. But man, it's a new season. Did you hear that passage my wife just read? The season has ended. Did you hear that part? There's a season, as she put it, there's a season of blessing that's ahead of us. But there may be storms in the way. The storms are on the enemy's hand to destroy you, to sink your boat, to sink your ship. But the will of God is for you to get in that boat, to get to the other side, and to reach a people who have been waiting on the light that you have to bring. Let me read this scripture for you, and I'll talk about this scripture a little bit later, but I want to read it now. It's in Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17. Paul says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is contrary to the flesh." And so we'll talk about that a little bit later. Right now, let me go to verse number two. Point number two, rather. Point number two says, recognize Jesus, overcome fear. Let me read Matthew. Let's go back to Matthew 14, verses 25 through 27. It says this: shortly before dawn, that means right when a new day was coming, right when a new season was literally on the horizon. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them. He had left them. They are in the midst of these treacherous waters, and the boat is too far gone to go back. And so shortly before dawn, Jesus goes out to them and he's walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walk on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said. And they cried out in fear. And Jesus said to them immediately, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." I love this revelation. There's a lot more to it, I'm sure. But I love this revelation in this scripture. And that is, you have to recognize Jesus in the midst of a storm. Jesus sent them into this boat. Did Jesus send them out on the lake and then whip up some clouds and some lightning and some thunder and some rain and some wind? I don't think so. I think he knew it all was coming. But I think when he sent them into that storm, he didn't send them into the storm for the purpose of the storm. The purpose of him sending them, I don't even know that they knew what it was, because the Bible doesn't say that they knew. It doesn't talk about them having a conversation with Jesus to say, "Hey, we got a plan. We got to go to this land. We got to get these people." He just said, "Get in the boat, go and go." But Jesus sends them into these treacherous waters. And I believe he sends them there to test out what he's already put in them. Are you going to doubt? Are you going to believe? And as they get there, Jesus shows up. Lightning is flashing, thunder is rolling, waves are crashing, Jesus is walking. But here's what's interesting about this. There are times in our lives where the lightning can flash, the thunder can roll, and the waves can crash, and we see Jesus, and we're so terrified by the lightning and the thunder and the waves that we see Jesus and we're still terrified. Jesus shows up and we're like, oh my God. Lightning flash. Oh my God, is we about to die. The thunder roll. Oh Lord, it's all over. The waves are crashing. Oh God, just take me now. Jesus shows up. Oh God, we about to die. Oh wait, wait, wait. It's Jesus. You can have so many things going on in your life hitting you that when Jesus finally shows up, you don't even recognize it's Jesus. It's, oh God, here comes something else. Now what? And you don't even recognize that it's Jesus showing up. Not even so much to deliver you from the storm, but simply to take you through it to the other side to fulfill your purpose. So you're going to hit some storms. Let's keep reading. In 1 John 3:2, here's what it says. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When we finally do recognize Jesus, the main point of us recognizing and seeing him is actually becoming more like him. So that when we see him, we become like him. When the part of the storm, and I talked to you about this last week, I shared this brief testimony about how one day I just kind of came in with my backpack and just fell out on the altar, literally right here, just God, do something about this and this and this and this and this. And I heard the Lord say, listen, it's not about me fixing this, 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 and this, and this. It's about you letting me use this, 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 and this to change you. And it's going to specifically change you to be more like me. Look at yourself. Do you feel more humbled by these things that are happening? Yes, Lord. Do you feel kinder? Are you a little bit more gentle with other people? Yes, Lord. That's what I want from you. And I sense God saying this, that when you try to get me to take this, 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 and this out of the way, all you're really doing is smacking the tools out of my hand that I'm actually using to shape you. I got a hammer and chisel in this hand, and I'm pecking away at you, and all of a sudden, you smacking it out my hand because you want me to take this, 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 and this away from you. And this, 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 and this is actually shaping you into something that's more like me. Hold on to that thought. So we got to recognize Jesus, because when we recognize Jesus, overcome the fear, what ends up happening is we start letting the storms, we start letting Jesus work in the storm to shape us into what he wants us to be. So we have to recognize Jesus. Number three, we have to be able to step out on faith. Everybody say above the waves. Let me read Matthew 14 once more. Verse 24 says this. And the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves. Okay, that does not mean, oh, you know, Country Buffet came and got on the boat or some Golden Corral. No. The word buffeted, of course, means to strike against. Okay, it's the same word from 2 Corinthians 12. We read that a lot. 2 Corinthians 12 is when Paul talked about the thorn in his flesh. He said that because God gave me so much revelation, there was a messenger of Satan that was given to me to buffet against me, to strike against me, to kind of keep me grounded in a way so that I wouldn't get too high, you know, didn't get too high on myself here. So it says here, the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted or struck against by the waves because the wind was against it. Let me talk to you about that. Because there's a lot of revelation. In fact, well, never mind. Let me just talk it through. The wind was striking against the boat. I believe, and I just gave you a bunch of different things as to what it means to step into the boat. But I really believe for us, the boat represents the Holy Spirit. And it has to do with the scripture that I told you I'd get back to from Galatians 5. It says the waves fought against the boat. Galatians 5:16 says, or 17 says, the flesh wars against the spirit. The flesh wars against the spirit. Now let me just get through a few other things here. So that I can really release this. In Corinthians chapter 5 verse 2, it says, we walk by faith and not by sight. In Hebrews 10, it says, verse 38, but my righteous ones, or the just, as it says in the King James Version, the just shall live by faith. And I take no pleasure, this is the Lord speaking, I take no pleasure in those that shrink back. But Paul, or whoever the writer of Hebrews is, it says, but we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith. We are those who have faith and we are saved. Now, point number four, I'm going to give you this. I know I haven't finished in point number three yet, but let me give you point number four anyway. Stay focused on Jesus. Stay focused on Jesus. And I'm just going to read you this first part of verse 30 in chapter 14 of Matthew. But when he saw the wind. Now, I got a few people on the edge right here. Can you look back and just take a look at the wind real quick? You see the wind? Can you see the wind? And he saw the wind, is what this says. But you can't see wind. Am I right? You can't see wind. What you can see is how wind moves the waves. If you look out here, you see how it moves the trees. But in this story, we see how it moves the waves. Now, revelatorily speaking, that is a word. It is now. Here's what that means for us. The Bible in, I believe it's Ephesians 2:2, it talks about how Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And in Ephesians 4:14, it talks about not being moved by every wind of doctrine. In Revelation 17 and 15, there is a story, there is a revelation that the Apostle John is getting about a great harlot. And the harlot is sitting upon many waters. And when the revelation of that is given in Revelations, it says that the waters actually represent, the many waters actually represents the many peoples. So this spirit that's kind of like a Jezebel spirit is resting on the minds of the people. So let's go back to the story in Matthew 14. What Peter saw for us today in this revelation was the wind of the enemy moving the people against the Spirit of God that's in you. You see that? Because the flesh wars against the Spirit. And there's a Spirit of God that you carry that rides above the waters. The vessel of the Holy Spirit that we ride in, so to speak, as the people of God, is above waters. Waters being people, above natural, supernatural. You follow that? And the enemy, the wind, is moving the waters, people, against what the Spirit of God is trying to do in and through you. But when he saw the wind, when he saw, for bringing it back to 2019, when we see how the enemy moves people against the work of the Spirit, he was afraid and began to sink. When we see the enemy moving people humanistically against what the Spirit of God is saying for us to do and to say today, it makes us all of a sudden sink. And we lose faith. And not only do we sink and lose faith in God, we begin to sink to the level of where the people are. So now I want to get on Facebook. I want to say what I got to say. You threw a shout out at me, I'm going to shoot you back then. And all of a sudden, I'm coming down to your level instead of staying focused on Jesus, who is in a higher, above the waters, above supernatural place in the Holy Spirit of God. Too much lightning flashing. Too much thunder rolling, too many waves crashing, too many people being moved to come against the Spirit of God and what the Spirit of God is telling me to do and the Spirit of God is telling me to say, that all of a sudden I start to. But we are not of those who shrink back. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand. Immediately, Jesus reaches out his hand. Do you feel Jesus reaching out to the body of Christ today? Why do you doubt? Oh, ye of little faith. I sent you to that place. I sent you to that people. I told you to speak these words, but for some reason you saw the wind of doctrine. The prince of the power of the air moving people looking at you, looking down their nose at you. Well, surely you must accept this. And we just say, yeah, I guess so. And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. You know why the wind died down? Because that's what wind does. Eventually, you just give a storm enough time, it will pass. Jesus didn't have to speak to the storm in this particular instance. He didn't have to silence the waves. He just got in the boat, him and Peter, waited, and it was gone. When people start getting moved by the enemy to come against you, you know what you need to do? Just get in a boat. I should say get in the boat. Yeah. Just get in the spirit. Get in the boat and just wait. The winds will die down eventually. You have to fight every voice that comes against you. Because a lot of it is just this intentional distraction anyway. I just want to get you. I don't want you to make it to Gennesaret. Because I got all of those people bound up. I want you out here fighting waves. I want you out here scared of the lightning. I want you out here scared of Jesus. So much lightning in your way. So much lightning and rain and wind and waves. I want you to start becoming an accuser of God. Why am I going through all this? Why is all this happening? Where is Jesus? I want you to start blaming God for your troubles. So that you just give up and drown or try to turn back. But I don't want you making it to this other side. Because too many people that I got bound up, you're going to end up setting free. Don't want that. So stay focused on Jesus. Let's read a couple of scriptures. Help us stay focused on Jesus, at least one. Therefore, this is from Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Now see, Hebrews 11 just talk about this whole, what we call the hall of faith. And when you step into chapter 12, the writer is talking about, since you're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, these Moseses and Davids and Jeremiah's, these great warriors of the faith, since we have those guys looking on, excuse me, you know, let's make sure we do everything to run the race with patience. But see, your cloud of witnesses might not be Isaiah, might not be Elijah. Some of your cloud of witnesses might be the very people that the enemy is moving with his wind. But you know what? Since we got such a great cloud looking on, let's throw off everything that hinders us, every sin that entangles us and ensnares us, and let's run the race with patience and perseverance, the race that's marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is the pioneer, the author and finisher and perfecter of our faith. Excuse me. Since you want to look on, I'm going to give you something to look at. Since you want to see my demise, I'm going to make you look at God's victory. And while you're trying to get me to fall out of the boat, to sink in my faith, instead what I'm going to do is just wait you out. I want to climb back in the boat. I'm going to walk in the spirit that I not fulfill the lust of the flesh and sink to your level. I'm going to stay up here for a while. I'm just going to wait till you die down a little bit and keep on moving. And keep letting Jesus be seen in me. So run the race with patience, looking unto Jesus, staying focused on Jesus, the one who got you in this race in the first place. And the one who's going to help you finish it. He helped you start it. He's going to help you finish it. Let me give you this last point. Show Jesus to others. Verse 33, Matthew 14. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "You are truly the Son of God." And when they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place, listen to these words, recognized Jesus. Understand what that means for us. When the people of this place, I'm talking about Michiana. I'm not talking about Gennesaret. I'm talking about South Bend. I'm talking about Elkhart. I'm talking about Granger. I'm talking about Mishawaka, Osceola, Edwardsburg, Niles, Buchanan. When they recognize Jesus, how do they recognize Jesus? Because Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father right now. How do they recognize Jesus? When I let the storm help me to recognize Jesus, so that when I recognize Jesus, I become more like Jesus, because when I see him, I shall be like him, so that when I hit land and I step onto shore and the people all of a sudden see me, they need to recognize Jesus. Thank you. So when people see my life, do they see Jesus? Or have I been avoiding the storms? Have I been saying no to that boat trip? I ain't getting in that boat. I know it's, I like it here when we had, come on, let's just feed some more 5,000, Jesus. Let's just do some more miracles. Don't leave us, man. Don't send us out there. It's hard out there, man. I don't want to go. Too much lightning. Too much lightning. Too much thunder. My ears, they hurt when all that lightning start cracking. Thunder start rolling. Can't take that. Look at all this water coming in the boat. The waves crashing. Can't deal with this. And look, it's a ghost out there. Oh, no. Don't even recognize that the ghost is Jesus. Can't even see Jesus in the midst of the storm. Anybody ever been in a storm like that? Anybody presently in a storm like that? I think we all might be. But then he says that you guys, that these people say you are truly the Son of God. Verse 36, it says, or 35, let's read 35. When the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all of their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. People brought their sick to him, and they begged him to just let him touch the edge of his cloak. What did we just read in Isaiah? That people shall come to the brightness of your rising. But they're only going to come when they recognize that light. They're only going to come when they recognize Jesus. But they're only going to recognize Jesus in you when you let the storm do in you what the storm needs to do to help you recognize Jesus. So that when you see him, you will be like him. So that when you become like him and you take him to a people who don't know him, they get to see him. Yeah. But you might need to pass through a few storms in order to let that happen. So that's what we're transitioning into. the storms. Maybe you have been through some storms. Maybe you're presently in a storm. Maybe you see some storm clouds ahead. Whatever the case may be, it's Jesus preparing us. It's Jesus preparing us to be more like him, to reach a people that are not like him at all. So where this all transitions to, we've been 6 months in training to go out and to see a people that don't know Jesus. We've been 6 months training as to what we need to do to let our light shine so that a world in darkness can see the light of Jesus Christ. And so in the weeks to come, what we want to focus you on is what we need to do when we encounter people coming out of darkness. I've got to trust that whatever work needed to be done in us to get us to be the light and to shine the light, I've got to simply trust that we've allowed that to happen. And I've got to trust that God, you're doing it in me, because I know there's some storms that I've been walking through, am walking through, and probably even have ahead. Whatever the case may be, it's making me more like Jesus. And I can see it. I can tell the difference between me today and me some time ago. And I know that it's only the handiwork of God. It's not even because I've been so diligent in devotionals and so diligent in defaulting to praise. Praise is not yet my default. I'm working on it. I had a few successes last week, a couple of not so successes. But nevertheless, I can tell that God has been using the storms to make me more like him. And that there are people who I now encounter that have a deeper welcome in my heart to experience the same light that I experience. I don't run away from them as fast. I don't keep my guard up as much. It's to the point now where I'm almost looking forward to for somebody to step in my world. Almost. It's like, God, you have me at a place now where I see it. And even the greater places that you are taking me, I gotta let you, I don't want to force it. I don't want to try to do it on my own. I want to let you shape me. If there's another storm, you gotta, shake up some lightning, then that, I have to leave that in your hands. But more so, I have to leave me in your hands. Because there's something you want to do in me that helps me reach somebody for you. And you're using the storms to do it. You're using the storms to do it. So right now, we may be talking about a whole bunch of storms and stuff. You know, this is the first time I've ever seen tornadoes in South Bend. I think God's maybe confirming his word. And I mean tornadoes twice in 1 month. I almost moved, man. Oh no. But God knows how to find you anyway. So don't be troubled too much by the storm. But don't beat yourself up if you get a little shaky because of the storm. You may not default to praise, but at least don't forget it. If praise isn't your default just yet, which we want it to be, Make sure that once you have your fit, you hit the praise button. Hit the praise button. I'm tired of this. Can't stand up. Every praise to our God. Hit that button. Amen. There's not a single storm that's ever lasted forever. It's some that come and they are harsh. They do a whole lot of damage, but they eventually go away. And many times they take away the stuff that didn't need to be there in the first place. Amen. Let me close with this. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. My first time ever reading on a Sunday morning from the passage, Passion Translation. I'm sorry, did you hear all that? The Passion Translation. Here's what it says, Colossians 3, 1 through 4. It says, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. Somebody say, arise. That's what resurrection means. Christ's arise is your arise. And this is why we yearn for all that is above the waters, in the spirit. We yearn for what is in the higher places of God. We're tired of sinking to this level of unbelief and humanism and just logic and reason, like there's nothing more to life. We yearn for something that's higher, that is above. For that is where Christ sits enthroned in the place of power, honor, and authority. Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not the distractions of the lightning, the distractions of the thunder and the wind moving the waves, hitting against the Spirit of God in you. Your crucifixion, the death that takes all of those things away, your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life. And now your true life is hidden away in God. It's in the boat. It's hidden. I want to say you can't touch this, but there's, you know. It's hidden in Christ. The waves are hitting against you because it hates what's in you. It wars against the Spirit of God that's in you. But the crucifixion of Christ has severed you from this life. And now your true life is hidden away in Christ. Verse 4 says, when Christ himself is seen for who he really is, then who you really are will also be revealed. When you recognize Jesus, you become like him, and all of a sudden you look in the mirror and say, wow. That's a Jesus hairstyle. I got some Jesus dimples. I look like Jesus because I'm loving people that are fighting against me. I'm experiencing peace, even though there's a whole bunch of crazy stuff going on around me. But his peace, he has given to me. Peace unlike this world can give. He has given to me. And so as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, all of a sudden, who I really am is starting to be revealed. Because I'm now one with him in his glory. And now because I'm one with him, wherever I go, I take him with me. So when I get to that people who don't know him, all of a sudden they recognize, you're not normal. Something's different about you. You're going through stuff and you ought to be throwing things at people. But for some reason, you're giving stuff away to people. And you smile when you do it. That's crazy. Looked like somebody I read about in the Bible. I think his name was Jesus. And you look just like Jesus. Tell me how I can have that kind of peace in the midst of a storm. Tell me how I can love people in my house while they cussing me out. Tell me how I can forgive people and get rid of this weight of unforgiveness in me the way it looks like you're doing. Lord, let your glory be revealed in us. Let your glory be revealed in us. Let me invite our prayer team to come. We all need help with our storms. That's why Jesus is walking in the midst of it. You might not see him, and he might let a few things flash and thunder and crash against you before he really shows up. But he wants you to know he's in it with you. And you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be ashamed that you're going through a storm. What you need to know is that there's something that God is shaping in you through the storm, and it's not just for you. You're going to enjoy what you become, but you're becoming it not for your own sake. There's a people that need what you have. There's a people that need what you have. And that's what I want to pray for us for today. Let's stand to our feet. Are you getting ready to sing that? Why don't you go ahead and sing it? I know it's just you up there, but go ahead. Let's sing it together. Come on.
Every praise to our God, every word of worship with one accord.
Lift your hands.
Every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God, every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our
God. Come on, lift your voice and sing it.
Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God.
Come on, one more time, let's sing it.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God.
Amen. Now, for every storm that you might be going through right now, I just feel like God, you're giving us a spirit of praise that's getting us, I can just go ahead and say it this way since you understand me now. That's getting us back in the boat. In the spirit. That's helping us to stay above the waters. Above what I understand. Above what my natural understanding can ever comprehend, can ever know, can ever ingest. But Lord, we're getting back into the boat. When we lift our hands, when we lift our voice, and we hit that praise button in our voice that says, God, I praise you. I lift my voice to you. I lift my hands to you. This doesn't feel good. but I acknowledge you in your goodness. This doesn't feel good, but I acknowledge that you are good. You still are good. And at some point in my life, Lord, this storm is going to pass. Help me to stay above the waters. Help me not to sink, Lord. Because you're only using this storm to make me more like you. You're only using this storm to make me more like you, ready to present you to a people that so desperately need you. You might need salvation in this place today, and I want you to come if you do. If you're ready to give your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to come now. But if you're also ready to say, God, I'm ready to be shaped. I'm ready to let the storm shape me. Not because I want storms, Lord. See, I know some of y'all scared like, oh, God, don't send me no more storms. No, I'm talking about the storm you already in. I'm trying to help you not to sink in the storm you're already in. But if you're already in some storms, why don't you just come on up? Just come on up. Jesus, make us more like you. Make us more like you. Forgive us for cursing the lightning. Forgive us for cursing the thunder. We didn't know. We didn't know. We didn't realize. We didn't recognize you were in the storm. We didn't recognize, Lord, that you were just trying to shape us so that we could look like you and take you to a people that don't know you. But that's the real journey. That's the real goal. It's to win people to you. It's to help people to recognize you. That's our desire, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Every praise is to our God.
Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God.
Come on, put your hands together. Let's do it. Let's lift it.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God.
Sing hallelujah, come on.
Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God.
Oh, I hear a praise coming up. Come on, God my Savior.
God my Savior. God my healer. God my deliverer.
Yes, He is.
Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise, every praise, my God.
Amen. Amen. All right, they revoked my choir director's license. I'm sorry. Amen. But let's give God praise. Hallelujah to our God. Yes, glory, hallelujah, is due unto him. Amen. If you're in need of prayer for whatever it is that is happening in your life, you need prayer, just understand that God is maybe taking you through some things, but it's just to shape you. It's just to shape you. Because there's something he's forming in you that you've got to take to somebody else. Amen. Let's lift our hands now. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Lord God, for keeping us through the storm, for being with us even when we couldn't recognize you. Forgive us, Lord, for where we may have accused you for leaving us abandoned. Forgive us, Lord, for where we may have wanted to give up, turn around and go back. Places where we began to sink. And we stooped down to the level of our humanity. And we no longer walked in the power of the Spirit. Lord, forgive us. Would you re-energize us? Baptize us once more with Holy Spirit and fire. Help us to step back into the boat. To step back into the Spirit, Lord. To step back into the place that's above the waves, above the voices, Lord God, above where the wind, Lord God, is blowing, above where the lightning is flashing and the thunder is rolling. Give us feet that will walk upon the waters in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. We bless your holy name, Lord. And now as we depart from one another, Lord, we pray that you would bless and keep us. Make your face shine upon us. Lift your countenance upon us as well, Lord, and give us your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you're in need of prayer, we do invite you to come. Before you go and have all of those good hot dogs and bratwurst, we want to invite you to support our youth in that way. But before you do that, please hug a few people. And we will see you next week. God bless you.